And today I want to speak on that subject. Anchored in Christ. Anchored. Anchored where? Some people seem to be anchored in the Situation Room. Some people seem to be anchored in the governor's mansion of New York. Some are even anchored in the White House. I'm saying to you today, let's shift our anchor and ensure that we're anchored in Christ. Amen? Some people are anchored in the midterm elections coming up in November. Let's shift the focus a little bit and be anchored in Christ. Amen? Men will come and go. Republican leaders will come and Democrats will come and they'll come and go. It's more of the same anyway. It's more of the same. Two sides of the same coin. One just a more liberal side and one just a more conservative side. But still the same coin. Amen? And by the way, when you pray for the safe return of soldiers from Operation Epic Fury, pray also for the Iranians while you're at it. Amen? Be a prayer warrior for the Iranians too. They're real people too. Amen? And by the way, some of you may not know, there are very many Seventh-day Adventists within Iran. They just can't announce it because they can be killed for it. And if you think Iran is a theocracy, so is the United States fast becoming one. We're watching it play out on live screen. And that's what Revelation 13 says. The U.S. will become a theocracy. So the forces went around the world trying to change countries from being monarchy and czars. And the U.S. changed many places in the world in the name of democracy. And yet prophecy tells us that United States itself will become a democracy. Well, a theocracy. It's supposed to be a constitutional republic. But things are changing. And we are seeing it happening in real time. We are seeing it. I'm only in this country since November of 2004. And I've watched the climate of this country change in those couple of decades. Short time. And going up the 81, when you pass, like, I think it's after you pass the Courtland exit. There's a sign that they put up since COVID times. And the sign says, normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. And I like that sign, you know. See, it's still in my head. Normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. And I want to say to you, if you're looking for the America you knew in the 1980s and 90s and some other time, it's not coming back. What God's people need to do is to be ready to meet Jesus in peace. Amen? And so I'd like to pray as we delve into our message today, anchored in Christ. Our God and our Father, we're at the communion service, the Lord's Supper, where we celebrate your incarnation, Jesus. We celebrate your ministry. We celebrate your death. We celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate your ascension. And we sit in celebration of the day you will come again. Speak to us in your word. And may each of us be found anchored in Christ. This is our prayer with the asking for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, New King James Version, starting in verse 17, the word of God says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You know, the Bible says Peter swore that he didn't know Jesus. That's what God is doing here. That's what that swear means, an oath. I want to read verse 17 again. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? Us. We are. All right, Kim, I'm glad you believe that. God has the right belief. we are all heirs of promise. And God, determined to show more abundantly to us, the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. Verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Today, my sermon title is Anchored in Christ. And so therefore I implore you, be anchored in Christ. Now, Christianity is named after Christ. It is the largest religious group globally. As of 2025, 2026, there are some 2.4 to 2.6 billion Christians worldwide. There are about 1.3 billion Catholics, 800 plus million Protestants, and the rest are Orthodox Christians and others. But unfortunately, many who bear the sacred name of Christianity are drifting even on a cruise on the high seas of sin. Figuratively, they leave Christ our forerunner stranded behind the veil in the heavenly sanctuary. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and its benefit that he's handing out from behind the veil is being rejected by far too many. They are not allowing God to empower them by his grace, which transforms lives. Now, as of December 31st, 2024, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has 103,869 churches. 77,753 companies. And 23,684,237 members globally. So when you sit at 813 Maple Avenue, you're not the only Seventh-day Adventist on the planet. You're 23.5 million more. Amen? In 2024, over 3,000 new churches were added. 360 companies. And in that year alone, 1,877,387 people joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church around the world. That's in 2024. In other words, I want you to know the mission is moving forward. We may not be catching up as fast here in Elmira, but the mission is going forward. Amen? Now, Ellen G. White says, in Christian Service, page 67, the world will not be convinced by what the pulpit teaches. But by what the church lives. The minister in the desk, and I'm standing there now. The minister in the desk announces the theory of the gospel. The practical piety of the church demonstrates its power. There it is. So, are you studying the theory of the gospel? Are you living out the meaning of our Bible faith? Is there practical piety, personal holiness in your life as a church member that is demonstrating the power of the gospel in your life. That is what it means to be anchored in Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Amen. And then I skip over to verse 17. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And in volume 4 of Testimonies for the Church, page 69, I want to read you something there as well. It says, "Preaching is a small part of the work to be done for the salvation of souls." What kind of portion? Small. "Preaching is a small part of the work to be done for the salvation of souls. God's Spirit convicts sinners of the truth, and He places them in the arms of the church. The ministers may do their part, but they can never perform the work that the church should do." End of quote. Then comes the question, are you performing the work for souls that God has called us to do? Will you be anchored in Christ and win souls to Jesus? So much of Christianity is making Bible prescribed living optional. For example, when the Spirit of God convicts sinners with the truth and places them in your care, what do you do with them? What do you do? Do you excuse yourself from your God-given responsibilities? You know, in my home church, where I became a Seventh-day Adventist, our men's ministry back then had a simple mission statement. Men assuming their God-given responsibilities. And my wish is that not only men, but women and youth and young adults and boys and girls will assume our God-given responsibilities. What do you say? Amen. So, don't look past the people coming into the church. Love them. Pray for them. And for each person who has been coming here 6 months or more, or even less, never let Christ record you saying, "Oh, this is not my church," or "My membership is not here," or "I am not the pastor." James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." The reality is, if you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you will find His arms open wide. Jesus is ready to give you a warm embrace. Amen? So, set out at once to please God. Faithfully do what He's called you to do. God will be with you. You know, we have the blessed hope to keep us anchored in Christ. Jesus, the Rock of Ages. He is our presence behind the veil of the heavenly sanctuary. He's offering to empower us by His grace. And His grace is sufficient for each of us. Amen? Jesus is offering us the blessed assurance of salvation. And He makes us both sure and steadfast. He secures us. He grounds us. And He shore up our foundation so as to make us immovable and unshakable. So let's enter behind the veil by faith. Christ, the forerunner, He has now entered behind the second veil for us in the heavenly sanctuary. Yes, Jesus is our priest. Jesus is our prince. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our High Priest, Melchizedek style. We have divine help, even for the more serious times ahead. We have help from heaven. And now in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 9, Jesus is here teaching. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. We now have the privilege to be anchored in Christ and to preach the everlasting gospel, especially in the context of Revelation 14, 6 to 12. We have that privilege now. We have the privilege to live for God now. We have the privilege to witness to every ethnicity without ever leaving our towns. Did you realize that? Each town in many jurisdictions is a little ethnic melting pot. So don't let anyone spoil your witness and outreach through their vain philosophy of making immigrants the boogeyman. Anybody who is preaching that is of the devil. God is bringing the immigrants, the ethnicities, the various nations right within our reach so we can fulfill our gospel mandate. Amen. We are called to go to every kindred, nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And God is making it easier for us by bringing them right in our towns, right in our colleges, right in our universities. You imagine if we would pay attention to God and carry out Revelation 14, 6 to 12 in each of our towns? Whoa, what a difference we could make right from our own town. Make contacts with them and tell them about the Almighty Savior, Jesus Christ. In Gospel Workers, page 352, quote, the work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. Every member a minister. Total member involvement. That is a part of what it means to be anchored in Christ. The sin of omission occurs when any God-given duty is left undone. People sin against God when they don't rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of the ministers and church officers. And in the Review and Herald, August 22, 1899, here's one more for you. The decimation or the passing out of the truth about God is not confined to a few ordained ministers. The truth is to be scattered by all who claim to be disciples of Christ. It must be sown beside all waters, end of quote. So, who will today quit drifting in sin? Who will get off the cruise ship of the enemy of God and men? Friends, volume 4 of Testimonies to the Church, pages 285 to 86 says, ministers may preach pleasing and forcible discourse, and much labor may be put forth to build up and make the church prosperous. But unless its individual members shall act their part as servants of Jesus Christ, the church will ever be in darkness and without strength. Hard and dark as the world is, the influence of a really, here's a word from Sabbath school, of a really consistent example will be a power for good. End of quote. I say, the attention we give to movies, the attention we give to sports, the attention we give to academics, the attention we give to job, the attention we give to politics, what if we give half of that attention to go into win souls for Jesus? What a difference can we make? And today, when we come to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, it is a good time to reflect. What am I? What are you doing for Jesus Christ? I've read it before. I've heard it before. I've seen it before, that there'll be no starless crown in heaven. And those stars represent people you've individually led to Christ. So go back down memory lane and ask yourself, who have you personally led to Jesus? And come to the present, who are you currently leading to Jesus? In times like these, it's good to do some reflection, amen? So, be a consistent example for Christ and a power for good in this hard and dark world. Do not give any space or place to self, to sin, or to Satan. Instead, give God his deserved lordship and leadership and rulership in your life. Amen? God has the perfect plan for your future and for your present life. He's offering you the very best in life to be anchored in Christ. We, all of us here, and the people we meet at work, at school, the people we meet in the supermarket, the people we see downtown, they are all heirs of the promise. So, flee to Jesus now. Hebrews chapter 6, 17 and 18 says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, the promise and the oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. God promised, and he took an oath on his own name that is going to see us through. Will we walk all the way through with God? Will we today, even if we were disconnected, will we now reconnect and be anchored in Christ? I invite you to stand. We're going to pray. We're going to break. We're going to go to the ordinance of humility. We're going to wash one another's feet. And then we'll come back here to partake of the emblem. And we have a room off to the right where the men go. We have a room off to the left where the women go to do that foot washing service. And like you saw in the bulletin, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we practice open communion. Every believing Christian is welcome to partake with us. I invite you to pray with me. Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you for your word and the privilege to reconnect with you today and right now to be anchored in Christ. Lord, we ask that you forgive our sins. We ask that you wash away our stubbornness. Wash away, Lord, our persistence in sin. Free us now, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb. And as we go to wash one another's feet, may this be a mini baptism for each of us. Wash away our sins, Lord, even as we do that. Cleanse us even now as we pray. Make us whole. And help us, Lord, to do the ordinance of humility with expedition. Help us to do it reverently and to get back in here in a timely manner so we can continue to the end of the service. In your sacred name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.